Right now, we're joined here in the studio by Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, who just wrapped up a meeting of the Assembly of Governments as just part of an extremely busy week. Thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here, Aaron.
So we'll talk about the Assembly of Governments meeting later, but I want to begin by talking about the joint letter that you wrote in conjunction with Pam Heminger in Chapel Hill, Tom Stevens in Hillsborough, Earl McKee, the chair of the Board of County Commissioners, trying to get the word out, not just about issues of harassment and threats and things like that that people have experienced in Orange County and obviously all across the country following Election Day, but also just a reaffirmation of the values that define Orange County and Chapel Hill and Carborough and Hillsborough. What has been we've been talking about the letter all week. What has been the response that you've gotten?
Yeah, so I think it's hard to be in a county that's 75%, you know, Democratic in a nation where the Republican candidate was elected. And so I think that prompted, you know, the emails, perhaps some incidents, some concern from folks wondering what the presidential election will mean for our values. And these are very legitimate concerns. You know, for instance, last night during the Assembly of Governments meet, I know we'll talk about that, but even issues like transportation, you know, wondering how that structure will change. You know, certainly issues around immigration, you know, how will that affect the ability of us to kind of support all of our immigrant citizens? Not to mention, for instance, our LGBT community, our transgender community, which has seen they've seen a lot of progress in terms of rights for transgender folks, but a lot of that has been at the because of the behest of our Attorney General's office and the Civil Rights Division. And so there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, for a lot of our population. And so, you know, after the election, we started hearing, I, in particular, as mayor of the town, started hearing from a lot of citizens really concerned about all the initiatives and goals and policies that are important to our town. And we felt like it was important, especially after we heard about a few incidents that happened in town, to put out a letter to the community. And as you know, we decided we would work on it together.
What incidents have happened in Carborough?
Well, there are two specifically that I'm aware of. One is that there was a note put on, and this was a social media alert that I got, so I haven't talked to this person, but it was a note on a person's car that said, "Can't wait until your marriage is overturned by a real president. Gay families, damn in hell. Trump 2006, repent, God bless." So that was one. And then the second, though, was an incident that happened in one of our neighborhoods where a resident was walking with her son to school, and a truck went by with three or four people in it, and they kind of hung out the window and yelled, "We're going to send you back to Mexico." And the person walking was Hispanic, I guess, but it was unnerving for that particular mother and child. So we heard about these incidents, and at the same time, I was in communication with, you know, Mayor Heminger, and we came up with the idea to issue a letter between the four of us, which, as it turned out, was an interesting process.
Yeah, yeah. What was that process like?
Well, what's really interesting is, you know, so I took
anything together is never
right. So I took the lead on it, and you know, Pam and I shared it. You know, I shared it with Pam and so forth, and we made many changes to it, and I spent several hours on it actually, and then we shared it with you know, Tom and Earl. They were awaiting it, and they all had their handprint on it also, and you know, I think in many ways, it wasn't as strong in some ways as I maybe would have had it. And strong, you know, might be, some people might argue with that. From the perspective of Tom and Earl, who represent a larger conservative population of our county, I know they wanted to be sure to temper some of what we were saying. And, you know, and my answer to that is, I think it ended up being the letter ended up being better for the input of everyone into it. But, you know, as I keep pointing out to people, you know, we talk about 75% of our county being supportive of Hillary Clinton. Well, that means, you know, a fourth of our residents are supportive of Donald Trump. And, you know, people think oh, it's just the northern part of the county. But if you look at our precincts, we have an awful lot of Carville residents who support, you know, Donald Trump. So part of the letter was to say, hey, we're all aware of the values of the majority of us. And by values, I just mean, you know, these kind of policy issues, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone, I actually heard from several Republicans who said, I don't believe in discrimination. You know, I support gay rights even, you know, but I feel like I am being mistreated because I supported Donald Trump and I'm a conservative. So I think it's been really eye-opening also.
Yeah, and I think it's, and we're speaking with Carver Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and I've been trying on social media to, and probably should do more than just trying on social media, but, you know, the work goes on, to reach out to, and I've been saying good conservatives, right? People who either didn't vote for Donald Trump or who did, but were just dismayed by the reaction or dismayed by the way that he conducted the campaign, the extent to which that campaign was grounded on and appealed to people who don't think LGBT people should be welcome or are not real Americans, to the extent to which there are people who don't think Muslims or Latinos or African Americans or Middle Easterners or anyone who's not white or Christian or straight is somehow lesser or not an American or not welcome here. And there are a lot of people who are conservatives who voted for either conservative candidates, not Donald Trump, or Donald Trump because they just want their taxes to be lower. And right. they're just as dismayed about this as well. And I think it's important for all of us to be on the same page if and when, and obviously this is happening now, people who are on that other side who don't think that certain people are real Americans or ought to be welcome in this country start speaking out and acting out and appointing certain people to high-level cabinet positions. Like, we can all take a stand on that.
Right, right. And I think it's important to recognize that I think there are people who are extreme on both sides, mm-hmm. as you said. And so We don't need to lump the actions of a few. And I think there's a saying, I always mess up my sayings when I'm with you. But it's something like, don't judge a minority by its most extreme members,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in other words, not every person who supported Donald Trump is running around in a pickup truck yelling at, you know, people walking
exactly,
down the street.
Yeah.
And so, but yet I do think in a county that's predominantly Democratic, you know, I certainly did not mean to offend those who voted for Donald Trump. And those, you know, I agree with you that I really, really appreciate people from all parties that, you know, are against discrimination and have, you know, other really good sounded arguments about business decisions and things like that. Interestingly enough, as the letter got wordsmithed, I realized later that when I look back at it, I don't think it ended up flowing as well as it did initially, mm-hmm. you know, because every word was kind of thoughtfully related back to a previous sentence. And I think that it could have been tighter than it was because
I think Jefferson said that about the Declaration of Independence when the Continental Congress got done with it too.
Oh, good. Well, I feel better now. But I do feel, you know, in retrospect, I wish I'd been either. It's like having a party and inviting part of the people and not everyone.
Right,
I wish
right.
that I had listed every possible group I could that it, you know, deserved mentioning. And so hindsight's 20/20, and it was a good learning experience really to think through how four leaders kind of come together and try to write a letter representing the entire community.
And I think it's good that you're doing it, because I'm talking to you here, and right next to, like, in between us is a television, and WRAL just happens to be on right now. And while we were having that conversation, up pops a story on WRAL about the fact that hate crime reports against Muslims were up 67% last year, mm-hmm. not even this year, not even 2016, and who knows what 2017 is going to bring. Like, there are incidents of harassment. There are incidents in which people are threatened, attacked, told to get out. They've had, you know, they're physically attacked, they're verbally attacked, they're having their homes vandalized. This is something that we all need to be speaking out about, and we all need to be speaking out about it now. And I'm happy that you did it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
So speaking with Carver Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and again, you can get more on that on our website, chapelboro.com. Let's talk about the Assembly of Government's meeting, which took place yesterday. A lot of issues on the table. I know the Green Tract, solid waste. I'm going to miss a whole bunch because that agenda was long.
Yeah, we had several informational items, too, that were relevant to projects that we're all involved with, all working on. But we started out the evening with a really good report update from the new county arts director, Katie Murray. And she kind of gave an overview of how the arts scene in Orange County compares to counties across the state. And so it's really nice to have someone. I think she came from Elizabeth City. She's been working, I think, for 3 or 4 months. So she's kind of getting integrated into our communities and getting to know the arts community and going to be, I think, a good kind of umbrella to everyone. So it was really good to hear a presentation from her and see her. After that, we had the update on the light rail, mm-hmm. which the discussion on that went on for quite a while, and I can talk to you about that if you like. But then it went on so long that at the very end of the meeting, we punted just a little bit on the green track discussion, but only insofar as this. All of the governing boards want to see some action start to happen on the green track. We noted that we've had several reports, we've had several conversations, and so... And we all were basically in agreement that we want affordable housing out there. We want open space, and we possibly reserve some area for a school,
Mm-hmm. So, and the Green Tract is just off of Rogers Road.
Green Tract is off of Rogers Road, and we just had a really comprehensive, in-depth, wonderful report done by the Jackson Center, which polled the community and included them and asked, what would you want to see out here? And so we ended up appointing a little work group of the mayors and the chair. So it'll be, Mayor Heminger, Mayor Stevens. Oh, actually, not Mayor Stevens. He's not involved. Mayor Heminger, myself, and the chair of the Orange County Board of County Commissioners, which right now is Chair McKee, but it'll be someone else in December. And the three of us and our managers will get together and talk about next steps for moving it forward. And our hope is that by doing it that way, then we can kind of go back to our boards and kind of talk with them and find some avenue for moving forward. And I think everything's on the table right now, mm-hmm. but it just was so late in the evening that we decided that was a good way to progress over the next couple of months.
Right, so. Right. So what will 2017 bring as far as that goes?
Well, we'll see. If you heard our meeting the other night, some members of our board, had a discussion about whether it makes sense, for example, for Carbo to really stay involved with ownership of the Green Tract, because, again, we don't want to bog down the process. We want to see something happen out there, and having one group work on something, let alone three groups work on something, can really slow it down. And so it's not an affront at all to wanting to be partners with the other two groups. Sometimes it's better to step out of the way and let it go on. But on the other hand, we all recognize that it could be a really cool project there. Mm-hmm. And we could really provide valuable, good input. And we've all worked with the Rogers Road community on these other projects. So I think we're still in a kind of exploring phase with regard to that. And we'll see what happens.
What's the latest on light rail?
Well, the light rail discussion was interesting. I was trying to think of the right word.
Interesting is almost always the right word.
Well, I know that you've had some reports from the Assembly of Government on the air earlier. I heard one. The truth is that the light rail project is having some real financial challenges. First of all, the state, taking away money that went through the STP process that was set up by the state, taking away any money, and then this summer, putting back in, maybe up to 10% of the amount if you go back through the process again. So whereas before, we had anticipated getting 25% of the total amount from the state. So that presented a challenge in itself. And then secondly, finding out that the federal monies, which Go Triangle had been told it was going to be $120 million. Now it would only be $100 million to work that into the financial plan. So, and the thing is, once you're in the timeline for these kind of projects, these kind of New Starts projects, you have to stay on the timeline or you get knocked off the track.
Right.
And someone else moves on ahead of you. And so the conversation last night, it's a good thing we had an Assembly of Governments meeting, because we all needed to kind of talk about the reality of committing to Go Triangle in December to try to work with them to identify funding sources to make up the gaps. But it seems like April may be a drop dead of completely moving forward and definitively saying, we're going to find the money this way, or getting out of line and trying to regroup. And so there was a pretty intense discussion about that, and it's very complex. There's been a group working on it. Of course, the ultimate people who vote on it are the Orange County Board of Commissioners, because they're the ones who approve the Transportation Financial Plan, and then the MPO votes on it. And there's, of course, a representative from each jurisdiction on the MPO. So, and Durham County is having the same conversation because obviously the light rail runs between the two counties, and it's we're getting down to the wire on it. And what's really, really unfortunate is, you know, as someone pointed out last night, the rail project has not changed except for the addition of North Carolina Central, which is right. A fabulous addition, and makes sense. But what has changed is the level of funding that was expected a few years ago, and it's not us. It's been the state government, it's been the federal government, and it's really discouraging.
Is it the $20 million from the federal government that's now the big gap that needs to be made up?
I think so. And the short answer is yes. I know that when it was only the state gap, which in and of itself was still pretty bad, it wasn't as daunting. There were, you know, but now it's catapulted into such a higher amount that Go Triangle, as they explained last night, they've called in, you know, financial experts to kind of come back in and re-audit and rework and look at the financial plan and, you know, try to figure out ways to make it work.
Well, all right. We'll keep following that. And again, that full story is on our website, chapelburr.com, so you can go there and check that out. Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and Mayor, before we let you go, I want to go back to the joint letter and the defense of local values in these current times. And I want to ask, over and above the letter, what will Carrboro do and what can local governments do to continue to defend those values in the next 2-4 years?
Well, as I have told some citizens, we've kind of been doing it anyway. Because we've been doing it against our state, unfortunately. So I think we'll continue to speak out. We'll continue to be proactive. Maybe look at the way that we do some of our policies or some of our laws, you know, try to be a little bit creative around them. But you know, make no mistake about it, Aaron. You know, and hopefully, you know, hopefully Governor, hopefully Attorney General Cooper becomes governor. But make no mistake about it, we really will need to be on the defense for the next couple of years, even though the state picture has possibly changed slightly better, we hope, and we hope it stays that way.
Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, we got to let you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you.